Welcome to the Empowering Industry Podcast, a production from Empowering Pumps and Equipment as the voice of the pump and related equipment industry. Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Empowering Industry Podcast. I'm your host, Charlie Matthews. I'm so excited to be here today. It's my birthday month was February, so like I'm really just joyfully and happy. I'm a little bit older, but it doesn't show, right? With the pink, it's sunshiny. Anyway, so I'm really excited to introduce you to Shelly. I really kind of am intrigued by her story, and I can't wait to hear it and kind of go into detail with that for my own interests, but then also to share her with you. So Shelly, we'll just start with you introducing yourself and letting our audience know a little bit about who you are.
Thank you, Charlie. I really appreciate being involved with the Empowering Women as well. So my name is Shelly Gager. I am the director from the IMD division within NEMA of ABB. So ABB Motors and Drives have different divisions underneath, and we represent the United States with the NEMA organization. And I'm really focused on developing motors and drives integrating together in order to provide solutions for our customers.
That's awesome. Yes. And, you know, I think I've learned over the years, definitely the system has to talk to each other to make things work. And especially when we're looking at the energy efficiency equation. So Shelly, tell us a little bit about how you got into the industry. I know it's always this different for everyone, right? There's no straight path, but I'm just curious how you found your way to ABB.
Yeah. So it's an interesting story. I've actually been here for 22 years, believe it or not. So one organization for that long is strange. It's obviously through acquisition to come aboard of ABB. But if you start many moons ago in my history, I grew up with two school teachers for parents. They did a wonderful job raising my sisters and I and challenging us on the things that we really enjoy. And I always did the hands-on. I like to figure things out. I like to solve problems. So automatically, as the youngest of three girls, I got to study at the university, West Virginia University. And I was in the engineering department. And I came in as an undisclosed engineer, I didn't choose a specific degree to follow down until I met the mining organization, believe it or not. So I met up with one of the professors, and he really just showed me that first year of school is really you're trying to find yourself and kind of who you are anyhow. So if you declare, I got a scholarship, so that was a bonus. But the reality was the mining school was just very similar to all the other schools. So I declared mining engineering my first year. And then right at the end of the school year, I went back to Sid Ping, our chairman at the time. And I said, you know what? I want to give this mining thing a shot. You know, how do I get a job? Now, mind you, 2 weeks left of school, right? So it's like, can you find a summer job that quick? And within the next day, I had three offers. And it's the networking that group of people, those professors knew the industry locally. They knew the industry nationally and internationally. And I just had those opportunities. And I thought, I'm going to give this a shot and see what it's like. So I partnered up with Consolidated Coal Company at the time, Consol, and really got my hands on things, working in maintenance, in the prep plant, working underground in the coal mines. And I did that all through college and really got to have a love for the industry, a love of the challenges when you're in the maintenance group, in the engineering team, and all those different areas, working underground, working on the surface, working in the prep plant. It was just a lot of ways that I decided that, you know, this is a pretty cool industry and something I want to proceed. And then I took a step back and said, is underground really for me? And that's when I really reached out to network again, the network I learned through school and everything else. And I ended up going to a trade show in Las Vegas. So here I am, the West Virginia girl in the middle of West in Las Vegas with my peers in school. And we kind of stepped back and started meeting people. And I have a little outgoing personality. My husband and I are both engineers, so we always joke we're more of the eccentric style of engineers than the introverts. But I got to meet some organizations, and that's where I met at the time Rockwell Automation, that has since gone through some acquisitions and ending up at ABB. So 22 and a half years ago, I said, I'm going to give this sales thing a shot. And I had my first territory back in West Virginia, in Beckley, West Virginia, and loved it.
Well, that's an amazing story. There's so much there I want to dig into. I mean, yeah. First, I'm just curious. Okay, so you were in the engine, not really declared in engineering, but there's this First of all, mining in schools for me is just kind of like, I didn't know this existed, right? I thought, okay, you get out of school with a degree and then you go find mining, but you had resources right there. And do you think that's because of your location or a specific college?
Yeah, so there's multiple universities across the country, believe it or not. Back then, West Virginia University was one. Pennsylvania, University of Pennsylvania was one. Virginia Tech, obviously the Colorado School of Mines. Kentucky had a school. There were some other schools out west that had the education, and it's very much partnered up mining and petroleum. They're typically partnered together. Geographically does tend to have the lead of where the schools are located. And obviously in Morgantown, West Virginia, right in the heart of Coldfields, you really had that underground mining more toward the north and some underground and surface mining moving south in the state. So we got a nice blend. A lot of suppliers are in the area as well. So they got to really teach us as pre-engineers, pre-mining engineers when it goes into the workforce about their equipment and how their equipment can impact the deliverables that you need to mine and excavate and be able to understand how the surface operates. And it really just was an amazing experience to truly kind of like live in the shoes of people working in the environment or in the industry before even getting into the
So
industry
what was it?
ourselves.
Yeah, what was it like? What is going underground like?
It's amazing. So I was very, very lucky to be in a very thick seam, so very high ceiling. At the Enlow Fork mine that I worked at in Pennsylvania was about 7 feet tall. So when I worked in engineering, I had to carry a ladder. So it was pretty fun in order to do the surveying. But there was multiple times that, you ride in the man trips, you're going up to the surface and the face. You're so far away from the face of the mine. And if you're lucky to be able to watch the long walls, which are going to be the large machines that take very small cuts at a time over a large mass of coal. The conventional miners are what makes all the ventilation paths and things around. But I don't know, it's kind of like building a maze underground. So you're developing as you go. So you want to make sure that you're machining out the whole pillar. So, whether it's a pillar or it's a big long wall space, the long wall we were at, if memory serves me right, it was about 1,200 foot wide, and then 13,000 foot thick deep. And so you kind of mine everything out around it, make your pattern, then you start pulling your equipment, and then you put the long wall, and it's almost like a small scissor action. It just cuts a small path back and forth. And then the ground behind falls. So it's such an engineered system that the earth works for you. And you also have to realize those experiences, something it's hard to even put into words when you're in between and you're looking through the shields and you're just kind of looking, waiting for the ceiling to fall behind. And then there's that feeling of burst of air and knowing that you're safe because of the equipment around you and the longwall is such a proven technology. It's just a wild feeling. It's hard to put it into words.
Well, I think you've definitely shown us, and that, I mean, if we're thinking about mining at all, there's this excitement that just of you telling the story. So it's definitely an enjoyable experience for you, and I'm just fascinated to learn more about it. We are planning the Empowering Pumps and Industry Conference at the Colorado School of Mines in November,
Nice.
and yeah, so which mining has always been of interest of us. We've always talked about the mining pumps, but just kind of digging in a little bit more to understand more of the process and the people involved, and understanding just the engineering side of a lot of different. And I think of the Hoover Dam and just what went into building that engineering feat, right? So being able to work in that and see it like that with that kind of awe of what we can create as engineers. I say as engineer, I got something in there that's a problem solver, whether I went to school for that or not. Okay, well, Shelley, so if I fast forward a little bit to ABB and kind of what you're doing now and how that relates to the mining industry, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so when you really look at my career, and I'll step back a little bit to where I'm at today, the fundamentals of engineering are carried throughout nearly everyone in our roles in our organization within ABB because it's so much problem solving. It's listening to the customer, it's understanding their challenges, solving those problems, and then relating it back to them in a way that they understand how this product is going to be able to solve their problem. So for the first probably about 8 to 10 years of my career, I directly had aggregates and mining and pulp and paper and all these different industries. So I use that skill set pretty often. And then I've been in product management for the last 10. And in that time, and definitely more recently, I started to engage into the IMD. So it's integrated motor drives. Pumping world is very important. Air handling is also, if you look at those two, yes, they're also used in mining. Pumps are everywhere. Air movement is everywhere. However, the industries I'm really focused on now is more of that HVAC and more of that commercial pumping. So you look at industrial buildings, you look at moving air and liquid within hotels and large buildings and data centers and things along those natures. That's really where I'm at today. But it still comes down to what is the customer's problem? What is their need? What keeps them up at night? Whether they know that's a problem or not, what's their pain point? And then how do we come up with a solution with an ABB to provide them the best product we can for them to have the best solution that it gives them the most economical choice into the marketplace from a long-term standpoint?
I love even thinking about how, you know, you're thinking of a building and how it's running and making sure all of the equipment is running like properly and maintained properly. And I think about in a mine and how important that is for all the systems to talk to each other, right? The people to communicate with each other and just like the awareness that has to be on how that process works. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of like shipbuilding too, right? Like you're in this area and you've got to contain, kind of like, in your home, right? You've got to have the water, you've got to have the power to make things work. So it's really interesting to think about HVAC for one, because you don't see it, right? You don't want to see mm-hmm. it. You want to go into your home or your building and everything to be running fine. But we talk about a lot, like us behind the walls. And so you've got to have that trust in the people that you're working with. And so mm-hmm. I know that's part of it, building relationships over time. You've done that and being able to be a constant for 20 plus years in an organization is also, they're going to put you where they need you and where you know, you're adding value absolutely to that industry because of mm-hmm. your knowledge. Okay. So you mentioned empowering women at the start. I have to circle back to that because traditionally women are not in the mining industry and even just in the pumps and equipment industry. We love having women here. We are here. We're doing great things, right? But I'm curious about that and kind of how you got engaged with other women in your community. Anything that you wanted to say as far as an empowering leader that you may have had as well?
Yeah, for sure. So I had a professor in college who was amazing from a female strength standpoint. And that instilled a lot into me to kind of walk beside her and help her with classes and see that there's more you can do, right? You can take an engineering degree in multiple different ways. You can do plenty of different things. But I would say my parents have been a very strong resource as well to always be you. That's always kind of one of the things they brought me up. But when I first started my career back in 2001, I remember one of the first calls I got. Her name's Bobby Riley. She was up in New Jersey. And she called and said, if you need anything, just call. And I went on sales rides with her and I just talked to her about things. And she was such an inspiration because she had such a long career prior to that. I think she was with the company 30 years at that point and just always said, it doesn't matter who you are, you know, as long as you stay true to who you are, but then also to stay true to just helping the customer in a way that your engineering skills allow you to, you'll go great places. And so Bobby really kind of stays with me. She's always kind of been in my mind every time I've taken a new opportunity saying I can do this and never to second guess yourself and always just stay true to who you are. So, and I've had multiple of those throughout the years. And most recently, I would say my husband and my local mentor have really pushed me almost to say, take this role as the director. You can do great things. Sometimes they call you crazy, but for the most part, they say, you know, I had the talent and I have the drive. And that's really what you need to do in order to look at diversity across the board. So I have the ability to make my own team. We're starting brand new. We started from scratch. So I took some people from internal. We have some people external that came aboard. And just being able to be who you are, I think across the business has been really healthy for our team. and really helps engage and inspire one another for diversity to be a great thing. And it's not only your sex or your race, it's your way of thinking as well. So diversing yourself within an organization, trying things that you're not 100% confident in, all of those are different ways to truly make a better you and put yourself out there as a new, you know, a new inspiring person.
Well, congratulations on that, for one, being a director there. I'm really excited for you. And absolutely, I think you have the support there to be successful. So I absolutely want you to know, though, you can always call us at Empowering. We would love that. And I hear the role models that you've had, and then I see you taking on that role, because leadership is a decision. And so you said yes to that, and you're going to be that role model for others, whether you like it or not. I tell people, like, it happens, but it's you're a great example of what we need in this industry, and just believing in, hey, these are the things that really interest me, and this is where I want to live and stay. And yes, we can grow outside of our comfort zone, but you know, who are we as people? I love that message. It's just like, how do you want to show up? And go for it. So
that's right.
Okay, Shelly, I could talk to you all day. I do want to let everybody know, like, we've had many pieces of content about motors and drives and integrating those for sure on Empowering Pumps. But is there anything that I'll kind of let you leave our listeners with as far as ABB as a whole, or what you're focused on there?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a huge mega trend in the industry. Motors and drives are being paired together in nearly every application, really in the air handling and the liquid movement, whether it's water or other fluids. And the energy is a big part of the story. The energy that's used, and we commonly say within the organization, the energy that you don't use is the best sustainable solution. So looking at how you can take your existing equipment and upgrade the drive components will give you a huge boost into not using that energy from the beginning, instead of having to offset it with carbon credits or something like that. Just don't use it from the beginning. So have a more efficient solution up front, and it really will sustain much longer into the future. And we also talk a lot about total cost of ownership. What I invest in today, what it truly costs me through the life cycle of that solution. And there's more to than that purchase price. It's the sticker price on the refrigerator. It's the sticker price on a product. That's only part of it. Because when you really look at a pump, that only represents about 3% of the operating costs. When you look at the life of a pump, 3% is what you paid up front. The life of that product is what you're really paying in efficiency. So looking at the motor, the drive technology, and how you move that fluid and how you move that air in the application is really key. And I'm very proud to be part of ABB with our energy efficiency movement. So companies are more than welcome to join us in that. We have a website, energyefficiencymovement.com, and we're really proud to be able to put that out there, and how companies are also partnering ship with us in order to really, truly make an impactful future.
I love it. I'm all about energy savings. Somebody told me one time, like, if you get the process down and you save energy, it'll help you save energy. And that means you can do other things with that energy. Mm-hmm. And so that made sense for me about even just my morning routine. So I'm all for energy savings. Okay. So Shelly, I have a couple of rapid fire questions for you, and then I'll let you get off of here. My question is, what is your favorite book?
Oh, I'm going to have to go with my mom and I both enjoy the best book, To Kill a Mockingbird.
Okay. And then what is your favorite kind of music? Do you have a song or a band or something?
You know, I'm a big fan of the Avett Brothers, and okay, I think it's because I saw them in Red Rocks in Colorado. So it was an amazing experience. So that one will always stick with me.
Yeah. Becca, she was telling me she's been to a concert there, and great experience. Mm-hmm. And then not the same people, but same venue. And then I'd love to ask, what is the best advice you've ever received?
Best advice. I've received so much good advice throughout the years. And I think it's my local mentor, and Tom is his first name. I won't say a last name, but he commonly says, if you do things for the right reason, it's always the right thing to do. And he'll always inform me of, you know, be you, but if you do it for the right reason, he actually just told me that last week, if you do it for the right reason, it's always the right decision. So.
Oh, that's great advice. And I always do end and try to shift it just a little bit. It's the same question, but it's a little different. If you could really think about a young person coming into our industry, what advice would you give them?
I'm going to do something a little bit different than I do have mentees that I have had the privilege of meeting throughout the ABB organization as well. And I think the one thing I've always said is don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to step out into something you're not prepared for. Don't be afraid to say something in the meeting if you have a question. Don't be the one at the table that holds back when there, you probably have other people around the table that are thinking the exact same thing. Have the strength and that confidence in yourself that you can make a difference by just saying one statement. And you know, it comes to jobs. Many times I've heard people only apply for roles if they're 100% qualified. And I've always been told if you're 100% qualified, you're overqualified. So make sure that you look at those opportunities and have confidence in order to jump and make that decision that may not be the safe one, but it's an exciting one.
Well, Shelly, I knew this was going to be a great interview, and I was just so excited to share you with everyone. Just a fun career and lots of great energy, and just excited to get to work with you. And just, as we move forward, I will actually get to meet you soon. So,
Yes.
look forward to that. And then, we'll see what else, happens as far as recordings later, but it was an absolute pleasure. Y'all, if you haven't done it yet, please like and subscribe to the podcast. I'm actually growing our YouTube channel. We've changed it over to just have Empowering Pumps content on it, and absolutely love that. And so, because I like to see people. So if you like to watch us on video, go over to YouTube and subscribe there. But share this episode, whether it's an audio version or a video version, share it with somebody. I know it's going to make a difference, especially to encourage that excitement around mining and how to be, in uncertain environment and still succeed, and really the opportunities open up for you. So thanks again, Shelly, for being here. And until next time, be empowering.